Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Isaiah 63 verse 9. Isaiah 63 verse 9. It says, in all the affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. Now we had begun a study on human pain and suffering. Why is there evil in the world today? And why does it seem like God does not do anything to stop it? Is God unbothered when we suffer? We said the idea of an absentee God is foreign to the Bible. God is not absent when his people suffer. He is right there feeling their pain. God is an empath, meaning he feels pity. You see that when an only son died in Nain, Jesus felt pity. At the funeral, he cried. So we have a God who can be touched by human suffering. He is not unbothered, indifferent when we suffer. And he desires to save and to rescue. Then we move on to see the origin of evil in the world. Evil does not originate from God. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So nothing dark that is malicious or sinful is found in God. Evil is a consequence of man's sin. God made man and gave him authority over the earth, but man misused that authority in sinning and brought sin and death into the world as a result. Romans 5 verse 12, through one man sin entered the world and death through sin. So this is the cause of all the evil that we find in the world today. God is not behind it. We said Jesus reveals God perfectly to us. His God's image is a con, his express image is character, and his word, logos. So to know what God is like, we look to Jesus. Jesus never caused evil, he reversed it. Jesus never made sick, he healed sicknesses. He never made poor, he provided. He never caused death, he raised to life. Showing to us what God is like. God will not do what Jesus would not do. He is his exact representation to man. We said there is a third actor here when it comes to evil, the devil, who usurped man's authority and uses it for malicious ends. So, man, sin, and the devil are the cause of evil in the world today, not God. Then we moved on to answer a question. Does God punish with evil? You see that when many go through evil today, their first thought is, what have I done wrong? Is God punishing me for something I did? Now, that is not always the case. Experiencing evil does not always mean God is punishing you for something that you did. Job suffered, and his suffering was not punishment for any wrongdoing. So we must be careful of such ideas. We said, yes, God does punish, and we saw a plethora of words in the Hebrew which describe this. But how he punishes is oftentimes misunderstood. Jeremiah 46:25-26 reveals what exactly God's punishment is. It punishes by delivering. Verse 26 says, Natan in the Hebrew, which means to permit something to occur. So God punishes by simply doing nothing and allowing evil to occur. He is doing nothing not because he does not want to help, but because his help has been rejected in pride, sin, and rebellion. And he will not force it on man. So man's sin destroys him without God's input. Sin is destructive in and of itself. Romans 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Now in the last service, we examined popular Christian catchphrases used to give encouragement when evil occurs. God's ways are mysterious. God is in control. God knew this would happen. God's answer to prayers is sometimes no. God gives and he takes away. God is testing you. His time had come. Now all these catchphrases, as nice as they sound, are not scriptural. Now I get that you want to minister comfort to the person who is grieving, but do not minister comfort with heresy. The person grieving needs theology, not sentiments. So show the grieving person what God's word says about pain and suffering. God is not in full control over all that happens on the earth. There is the devil who causes evil to occur. So do not attribute his works to God. Also, God does not give and take. Job said that when he was in pain, and he corrected himself eventually. God did not take from Job, Satan did, as the book of Job clearly reveals. Also, God does not use evil to test us. Now, God does test his children, but never with death or sickness. He simply allows us to go through situations that will strengthen our faith, cause us to trust him more. Now, furthermore, people do not die because their time is up. No one has a set time to die. People die because their model and their actions and inactions can either prolong or shorten their lives. So we must stop giving God's people lies as comfort, but instead start feeding them with the truth of God's word. I repeat again, the grieving person needs theology, not cliches. So pick up from there today, still looking at where is God in the midst of my pain. Now today I want to see the place of prayer in pain and suffering. James 5:13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." Now this statement is profound. It implies that prayer has the power to change evil situations for the better. The one who is suffering has a tool from God to help him in his suffering. Now that tool is prayer. To pray is to bring your request before God, knowing that he has the power to answer. But there is a problem, however. Sometimes our prayers seem to go unanswered. Now many have accused God of ignoring them when they prayed. Some have prayed for sick loved ones and they died. Some prayed for their marriages and their marriages fell apart. They ended up in divorce. While others prayed for their jobs and ended up being relieved from work. So this leaves behind the idea that God sometimes refuses to answer when we pray. Now, as we earlier saw in this teaching, even some in the Bible felt this way. Job in his suffering says this. Job 30:20-21, he says, "I cry out to you, but you do not answer me." Underline that. You do not answer me. "I stand up and you regard me, but you have become cruel to me. With the strength of your hand, you opposed me." Habakkuk 1:2 recalls the lament of the prophet. Habakkuk 1:2, he says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry?" Underline that. "How long shall I cry and you will not hear?" Underline that. "You will not hear. Even cry out to you violence and you will not save." The book of Isaiah records the same idea of God ignoring the cries of his people. Isaiah 58 verse 3, it says, "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen?" Underline that, "you have not seen." "Why have we afflicted our souls?" Now that refers to fasting, "and you take no notice." Underline that, "you take no notice." And these concerns are what give rise to the idea that God can sometimes say no to our prayers. So the reason why things did not change was because God sovereignly refused to answer when we prayed. Now Dr. Charles Blanchard, the second president of Wheaton College, wrote about this idea. Now he said, and I quote, "I do not believe this to be true, and I do not believe it to be a comfort or help to anybody. I think it will tend to make infidels rather than Christians." So what this means is that the reason why many Christians later become atheists is because some make God out to be this monster who sometimes will deny us the answers to our prayers. Now the Bible is clear that God will not hear some kinds of prayers, particularly selfish prayers, which are not in line with his nature. James 4:2. It says, "You lost and you do not have. You mourned and covered and cannot obtain. You fought in a war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. You ask," now that refers to prayer, "and do not receive, because you ask amiss." Underline that. "Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Underline it as well. "Spend it on your pleasures." Now God does not even hear such prayers, let alone answering them with a no. And we can understand why. God does not grant such prayers because they are evil prayers. But what does not really make sense is how God will say no to prayers that are in line with his character. For example, a husband praying for his wife to be healed or to be cured of cancer, or for protection on a journey. The idea that God says no to our prayers is therefore wrong. His answer is always yes. When the prayer is not in line with his character, he does not even hear it at all to begin with. So he closes his yes supernaturally to it. So we must not let anyone hoodwink us by saying that the reason we did not see the answers to our prayers is because God said no. God's word promises that if we would simply pray, God will answer, no doubt. Matthew 21 verse 22, and whatever things you ask, underline that, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive, underline that, you will receive. John 14 verse 13, similarly there, and whatever you ask in my name, underline that, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, underline that as well, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, underline that, ask anything, I will do it. 1 John 5 verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, underline that, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, underline that, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Now notice the use of whatever and anything in the text that we just saw. This shows how wide the scope is. So God is willing to grant anything we ask of him that is in line with his character. So this would include prayers for healing. Exodus chapter 15 verse 26, for I am the Lord who heals you. Psalm 41 verse 3, the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. He will sustain him on his dead bed. It also includes prayers for financial or material provision. Psalm 34 verse 10, it says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Underline that, shall not lack any good thing. Psalm 107 verse 9, for it satisfies the longing soul. Underline that, it satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Underline that as well, with goodness. Nehemiah 9 verse 21, it says, 40 years you sustain them, underline that, you sustain them in the wilderness, they lack nothing, underline that as well, they lack nothing, their clothes did not wear out, underline that, did not wear out, and their feet did not swell, underline that as well, did not swell. Philippians 4 verse 19, it says, and my God shall supply all your need, underline that, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17, commend those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Underline that, from all to enjoy. It also includes prayers for protection. Psalm 18 verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, underline that, my fortress, and my deliverer, underline that, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, underline that, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, underline that, my stronghold. Verse 30, same chapter, as for God, his way is perfect, the word of the Lord is proven, he is a shield to all, underline that, he is a shield to all who trust in him. Psalm 91 verse 3, surely it shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. It shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Now this is an imagery borrowed from how birds cover their young with their wings to protect them from harsh weather conditions. You may see Psalm 17 verse 8, Deuteronomy 32, 11 and 12. His truth shall be a shield and buckler. He shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. Psalm 121 verse 5, similarly there. The Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade, at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil, it shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. Underline that. From that in, from this time forth, and even forevermore. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Underline that. Guard you from the evil one. So when we ask God for such things, healing, provision and protection. His answer can never be no, because these things are in line with his good character. So he gives good things to all who ask him. God would not give all these promises in his word, that he would hear our prayers, that he would heal us, provide for us, protect us, if he intended not to do so. Everything God says he will do, he will do. Isaiah 55 verse 10. Isaiah 55 10. It says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please." Underline that. "It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it." God does not lie. Numbers 23 verse 19. It says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. As he said, and will he not do?" Underline that. "Will he not do?" "Or as he spoken, and will he not make it good?" Underline that. "Will he not make it good?" So we can trust him to do what he says in his word. Now, if this is the case, why then are prayers sometimes delayed, or sometimes we do not see any changes at all? Now, the reason for this is because we presumed erroneously that God is in control of everything that happens on the earth. Now, this is not so. God gave dominion over the earth to man. Genesis 1 verse 28. "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it." Underline that. Subdue it. "Have dominion." Underline that. "Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Psalm 8 records similarly. Verses 6 to 8, same chapter, Psalm 8. "You have made him, him there being the man, to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Now, this was a picture of dominion in ancient times. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Psalm 115 verse 16 says, "The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men." Underline that. The earth he has given to the children of men. He has put it under their control. So man was given full authority to exercise rulership on the earth. Man could control what goes on the earth, either physically or spiritually, by his actions. So nothing happens on the earth today without man's permission. Man allows things to happen by his inaction or actions. Now we know that by his own actions, man gave his authority to the devil. Luke 4, 5 records this. It says, "Then the devil taking him up, him there being the Lord Jesus Christ, on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me." Underline that. "This has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you would worship before me, all will be yours." Now, because of Adam's sin, the devil now assumes authority over the created world. He usurps the dominion meant for man. You may get the teaching what the Bible teaches on demons for more on this. This is why the devil is called the ruler of this world. John 12 verse 31. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world," underline that, "the ruler of this world will be cast out," referring to the devil. John 14 verse 30. "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world," underline that, "the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." John 16 verse 11. "Of judgment, because the ruler of this world," underline that, "the ruler of this world is judged." Paul calls him the god of this age. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. It says, "Whose minds the god of this age," underline that, "the god of this age, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Ephesians 2 calls him the prince of the power of the air. Verse 2. John tells us clearly that the old world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 1 John 5, verse 19. So man legally gave his rights to the devil, and the devil used this power to cause death on the earth. He had the power of death, Hebrews 2 tells us, verse 14. So we find Satan wield destructive power on the earth, and the devil ate us. Now think about that. He wields destructive power and is full of hate. So what do you think he would use that power for? He is always seeking ways to destroy us with that evil power that he usurped from man, that corrupted power. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is called the adversary, that is our enemy, the opponent." Okay, the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Here, contextually, he is destroying with persecutions. So the devil is behind all the chaos that we see on the earth today. He is in control over evil on the earth, not God. Now let's bring this into the context of prayer. We know from the Bible that the devil can delay our prayers. Daniel 10 verse 12. It says, "Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard.'" Underline that. "Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Underline that. Withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come." Here we find an angel sent with the answer to Daniel's prayer, delayed for 21 days. The Hebrew literally says his way was obstructed. Paul also records how the devil hindered his ministry plans. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 18. "Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us." Underline that, Satan hindered us. Cf. Romans 1:13. So many times, what we term God saying no is actually the devil delaying our prayers. For instance, if you prayed for a sick family member, the devil could delay your prayers until the person dies, even though God already answered the first day you prayed. And he has the legal right to do so. Why? Adam gave him that right. So the issue was never with God. It was with Satan. So prayer actually is spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 verse 18, as we close, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful," underline that, "being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Now the phrase "being watchful" translates the Greek agrapneo, a compound word from "ar," meaning "not," that is the alpha, and "hypnos," meaning "sleep." So put that together properly, "not to sleep," that is to be vigilant, watchful, attentive, alert, to be circumspect. Now it is interesting that Paul's context is spiritual warfare here. See verses 10 to 13, same chapter. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God," underline that, "put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So this vigilance, verse 18, would be in relation to our wrestle against the forces of darkness. It's a real battle. Are you here, folks? It is a real battle. Perseverance is required in prayer. So, while it is true that prayer is primarily directed to God, you must also know that there are forces trying to stop God's answers actively from getting to you. So, they must be engaged also. You must keep on praying until you see what you want to see, the results that you seek. But many just give up and say, "It's not God's will. God said no." No, persevere in prayer. That is how you win. Daniel had to keep on praying till he received his answer. Now that took 21 days. Daniel 10 verse 13. Now imagine if Daniel had stopped praying on the 20th day. You know, same with Elijah. Do you remember that story? He had to pray 7 times about the same issue before he received an answer. 1 Kings 18 verse 41, as we close, it says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed on the ground and put his face between his knees. and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times, underline that, seven times. Now these seven times he was praying about the same issue, about rain. He said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time, underline that, the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And he said, go, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Then it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now imagine if Elijah stopped praying the sixth time because he did not see results and said, you know, like many do today, oh well, God said no. Maybe it is not God's will. But Elijah understood that the issue is not with God. The forces of darkness on the earth are doing all that they can to delay our prayers and sometimes even to stop our prayers. So when you see a delay, you do not stop praying. You pray even more. Praying more speeds up the answer. It overwhelms the devil so much so that he can no longer stop the answers. What you must never do is to blame God for delayed answers. The issue is never with God. So, why do we pray and do not see results? Because we give up and stop praying too soon. Continually praying for the same issue does not mean you lack faith. I remember growing up, we're told that, you know, after you've prayed about something just once, that's all. Stop praying about it over and over again. If you do so, that means you lack faith. That is not true. Praying about the same issue over and over again simply means you understand that there are forces on earth which delay answers, and you are seeking to overpower them to see your requests come into fruition. So prayer is no joke. I wrote in my notes, prayer is actually warfare. If you do not persevere in prayer, the sick relative you prayed for just once might die. The child you prayed for just once might turn out wayward. You might lose that job you prayed for. Praying once about a matter might not be enough. You must keep at it. So when someone says, but I prayed about it. You know, some say that today, I pray about it. Why did God let it happen? You must ask him or her, how much did you pray about it? I read in my note, the power of prayer is in its frequency. That's how victory comes. So in conclusion, God never says no to our prayers. What we think is a no is actually the devil delaying the answers. Sometimes disaster can happen even after we prayed about it, not because God did not have, but because the devil delayed the answer. He has the power to do so. But we can overcome that delay and speed up the answers by exercising our authority in Christ. Use the name of Jesus through frequent prayers. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5:16. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise, thank him. We pick up from here.